Good to be back with you this morning. And we're going to be studying again, as our journey through the Bible, the book of Ruth. And it is a simple little book, but has a wonderful message for us. But I'd like to start this morning going back to the New Testament and take a look at the very beginning of the New Testament, a passage we looked at many months ago. But if you look at the very beginning, the genealogy of Jesus. And this is from Matthew chapter 1. Matthew begins, "This is the genealogy of Jesus the Christ, or Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was the father of Jacob, and Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers, the 12 tribes of Israel. And Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And Perez was the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram, and Ram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nashon, and Nashon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab. And Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David the king, and David the king the father of Solomon by the right of Uriah." Now, there's a number of things we could take a look at in this simple genealogy as Matthew starts. And of course, it continues on down to Jesus Christ himself. But there's four women that are mentioned in this genealogy in just this section. And we'll be taking a look at one of those this morning. A few weeks back, we looked at Rahab. She was from Jericho. When the children of Israel go in and take Jericho, she's the one that took the spies in and protected them and believed in God at that time. And we also see Tamar, and she'll actually be mentioned in our lesson today. She was actually the daughter-in-law of Judah. And that story is given to you in Genesis. But through these women, there's a message. And we'll be taking a look at that a little bit this morning. And even more in a few weeks later when we look at the wife of Uriah, Bathsheba, and with David. But this morning we're going to be looking at Ruth. And this is a simple story that's found for us in the Old Testament, but it's one that has, I think, great meaning for each one of us. But I'd like to start, when we look at the story of Ruth, with the idea of honor. A lot of times you hear a word, and you hear a word, it kind of brings a picture. You have thoughts that come to you. When you hear the words honor and glory, what do you think about? A lot of times we associate honor and glory with our Lord and Savior, with God, or with Jesus Christ, and our lives are to bring Him honor and glory. Do we think about honor for ourselves? Do we think about our lives being a life of honor? One of the stories I think you're seeing when you go through Ruth is the idea of honor. And we think about personal honor, and that's, I think, a concept sometimes maybe we lose a little bit in our day and time. So much of what we do today or in the world is about what we want right now for ourselves. Sort of that idea of gratification now, or what's the easy thing for me, or what I need for myself. And we don't have that concept of honor. Honor has the idea of honesty and integrity, and personal honor and personal integrity, that we mean something, that we are a person of honor. In fact, if you use that phrase, well, that's a person of honor, what do you think about? You think about a person that has integrity, that somebody that you can trust, that you know if they tell you something, that they're going to stand by their word. Look with me at a passage in Romans. Look what what Paul says about honor in this section of Romans. He, God, will render each one according to his works, according to your life. To those who have patience and well-doing, seek glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. And over in Romans 12, Paul adds, honor one another above yourself. Now, the part I'd like to see in this passage is the contrast that Paul makes between the two different roads, really, that you can take. You can seek honor and glory, or you can be self-seeking. Thus, the contrast he sets. Self-seeking, in other words, is the very opposite of living a life for honor and glory, a life of integrity and honesty, as he brings it out, a righteous life versus an unrighteous life. And that's not always easy to do that. But we're told, we're commanded even, to live a life of honesty, integrity, of honor, to seek that, to seek to be a people of honor. And there's one message I see in the story of this little story of Ruth. She was a woman of honor, of worthy character, that sought that, even at the expense of herself. And so we see that in the story of Ruth. And hopefully you'll see it as we go through this story. In the very beginning of Ruth, our scripture reading this morning is to me one of the very special passages in the Bible. There are certain passages every so often that you come upon that it's hard to read that passage and not be touched by it. And that is one of those passages. It's one of those passages that every time I read it, and it doesn't matter how many times I've read it, it still touches you to read a passage like this. Look again at our scripture reading this morning in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. And may the Lord do to me, or also if anything but death separates me from you." Now, if you go back and think about what came about before this story, Naomi is a woman with a husband and two fine sons, but there's a famine in the land of Israel, so they go to Moab, a neighboring country. And they live there for a number of years, and their two sons take wives from Moab. And it appears everything goes well, but then her husband dies, and both her sons die. So Naomi is now a widow with two daughters-in-law. And so you can see that it's a troublesome time for her. So she sends her daughters-in-law back and says, "I'm going back home to Israel. Things are better there now. But you go back to your own people in Moab, and I'll go back to Israel." And the first daughter-in-law, they hug and they kiss and they have a goodbye. But Ruth says these words to Naomi. And she tells Naomi, "I will be with you, Naomi. I will honor my own husband, who's now dead, by honoring my mother-in-law." And so Naomi has a daughter-in-law of honor, one that's willing to honor her above herself. But she goes back with Naomi to Israel. And so they go back to Israel, to the area around Bethlehem. And Ruth gleans in the field. And that's something we may not see much, but if you look over in the beginning of chapter 2, notice what's said. "Then Boaz said to his young man, who was in charge of the reapers are those that go out and do the harvesting. And even the harvesting's not easy. They take a sickle and they cut down the wheat and they pick it up and they take it out. So the reapers are those that do the harvesting in the field. "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." She said, "Please let me glean in the and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came and she continued from early morning until now, except for short rest. Now when Boaz hears this, he actually helps Ruth out, because he knows that what she's done is a very noble task. Gleaning is not an easy task. If you take a look at, this is a picture of one actually gleaning, and it was part of the law of Moses. Gleaning basically meant you went behind the reapers and picked up what they left. But now this was commanded in Deuteronomy. If you take a look at the law in chapter 24, it says, "When you're harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back and get it. Leave it for the alien, the fatherless, for the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands." This was in some ways the way they had to take care of the poor. But notice the poor themselves had to work for what they received. And it was not an easy work. And Ruth did it from morning till night. She worked all day, p- picking up what was left over from the harvest to provide for her mother-in-law and for herself. And so Boaz recognizes this and actually comments, as it was mentioned in our class, that Ruth was a noble woman, a woman of honor by doing this, by taking care of her mother-in-law, for being willing to work this way. And when Naomi learns that Ruth has been in Boaz's field, he then sends Ruth to him to put herself under Boaz. And that we read about in chapter 3, that Ruth basically had put herself in submission to sleep at the foot of Boaz's bed, to take him on as her redeemer. And notice what Boaz says to Ruth in chapter 3. He said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first." Now, the first kindness, when she took care of Naomi by gleaning in the field. "You have not gone off to young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you for what you ask. For my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman," or in the NIV, "a woman of noble character." And that's the way Ruth is presented now. And Boaz is recognized by the way that she has lived. She has shown herself to be a woman of honor, a noble character. It's a kind of life that's not an easy life. But she placed value on herself, and by placing value on herself, she lived a noble life. Living a life of honor, being a person of honor, doesn't mean always taking the easy way out, or what feels good to us now, or this is what I want for myself. Ruth was willing to give herself up for her daughter-in-law and then place herself under Boaz as the kinsman redeemer of her family. And she lived a life then of honor, of worthy character, and one that can be an example for each one of us. But one of the things you do see in Ruth's life, even though it hadn't been easy, if you go through everything that's happened to Ruth at this point, she has not lived an easy life. She's had her husband die in Moab. They've come back to Israel, and now she's gleaning the field. This has not been an easy time for her. But the Lord watches over us. And here Boaz ends up watching over her too. I'd like to read for you chapter 4 of the book of Ruth, and I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. It's very similar to NIV, but it has a few words that maybe make it a little easier for us to understand the customs of Israel. If you look over to chapter 4, at the beginning. "So Boaz went to the town gate and took a seat there. When the family redeemer," or the NIV, "the kinsman redeemer, he had mentioned came by, Boaz called out to him, 'Come over here, friend. I want to talk to you.' So they sat down together. Then Boaz called 10 leaders from the town and asked them to sit as witnesses. And Boaz said to the family redeemer, 'You know Naomi, who has come back from Moab. She is selling the land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I felt that I should speak to you about it so that you could redeem it if you wish. If you want the land, then buy it here in the presence of these witnesses. But if you don't want it, let me know right away, because I am next in line to redeem it after you.' And the man replied, 'All right, I will redeem it.' Then Boaz said to him, 'Of course, when you purchase the land from Naomi, it requires that you marry Ruth, the Moabite widow. That way she can have children who will carry on her husband's name and will keep the land in the family.' 'Then I can't redeem it,' the family redeemer replied, 'because this might endanger my own estate. You redeem the land. I cannot do it.' In those days, it was a custom in Israel for anyone transferring the right of purchase to remove his sandal and hand it to the other party. This publicly validated the transaction. So the other family redeemer drew off his sandal and said to Boaz, 'You buy the land.' Then Boaz said to the leaders and to the crowd standing around, 'You are witnesses that today I have bought for Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon, that the land I have acquired, and with the land I have acquired Ruth, the Moabite widow of Mahlon, to be my wife. This way she can have a son to carry on the family name of her dead husband, and to inherit the family property here in his hometown. You are witnesses today.' Then the leaders and all the people standing there, we are witnesses. May the Lord make this woman who is now coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, with whom the nation of Israel descended. May you be great in Ephraim and famous in Bethlehem. And may the Lord give you descendants by this young woman who will be like those of our ancestor Perez, the son of Tamar and Judah. And so the story, we see the great honor that was bestowed to Ruth. And you think about being a woman of honor like Ruth. She was honored, not just by Boaz, but by God himself. Because we read about her story, and we read about her descendants. Their descendants, of course, the great King David, and our own Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She was in the lineage of Jesus himself. And for that, a great honor had been bestowed to her. This morning, I'd like for you to think just a few things about the honor that Ruth showed, and how that can be an example to each one of us. Ruth showed honor to her husband, even though he was already passed away. Even though he was dead, she honored her husband by the way that she honored Naomi, her mother-in-law. One of the important ways that we show honor is by honoring our families and honoring those around us, even when it's at an expense to ourselves. She showed honor by seeking the incapable person of working. She was willing to glean in the field. She didn't expect just to be handed it to. She allowed herself by placing herself under Boaz, being in submission to him as the family redeemer, the kinsman redeemer of herself. And she showed respect to other people. We show honor to ourselves when we honor others. And sometimes I think we sort of miss that point. We have a tendency in this day and time to look at everything for ourselves. But with Ruth, you see that example of not just looking for yourself, but honoring and keeping that word to other people. Do we place value on ourselves? If we honor and seek honor and glory, like Paul brings out in Romans 2, then ourselves are important. That means we are important. We have to be a people of honor. We have to be a people of honesty and integrity. We have to be a people of our word. Jesus said simply, let your yes be yes and your no, no. In other words, when you say something, people can trust you. They know that you're going to stand by you because you're a person of honor. You're a person of worth. If you mean something, if you're a person of worth, then your word means something. And you see that with Ruth. We show honor by other people when we place their interests above our own. And by doing that, we show that we ourselves are a people of honor. As brought out today, you see, Boaz was Ruth's redeemer. We too have a redeemer. Ruth was not able to redeem herself. We're not able to redeem ourselves. We depend on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to redeem us. We place ourselves under Him, in submission to Him, just as really as Ruth did to Boaz. And we have to recognize that places importance on us because Jesus died for us. That means Jesus placed value on your life and on your soul because he was willing to die for you. That means Jesus places great value on every single one of us. For the Lord so loved the world that he gave his own son for us. And he who gave his son for us, will he not give us all things? We have a Lord that values, that loves every one of us. We have to come to Him. This morning, think about your life. When you place importance on your own life, when you seek honor, you're seeking to be the type of people that the Lord calls us to be. Just as Ruth gives us that example. It means living a life of honor, integrity, of honesty. It means living a life of value. Not the way the world sees value, but the way our Lord sees value. That's the type of people that we need to be. And when we look at little stories like this story of Ruth, we start seeing the kind of people that the Lord calls us to be. If you need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.